Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott return to Uruguay and drink a tannet from Bodegas Garzon. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, just like every other night, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
I'm verklempt because I have nothing to say because I'm looking at this glass of wine from Uruguay.
Yes, tonight on the show, we are revisiting a region or a country that we actually hold in pretty high esteem. Most people would say, what? Uruguay? And we say, yeah, Uruguay. It's one of our more underappreciated wine-growing countries. They're really fucking good. The producer we're having tonight is the closest thing to Kendall Jackson that Uruguay has. Bodegas, same thing. But Bodegas House. Garzon, okay? Garzon, as I'll call it, is a major producer in Uruguay. You can buy it here, wine.com. And we have done Garzon wines on the show before. Red, Majority. Did we do a white? I want to say they do an Abarino, but maybe they don't.
That sounds right.
I think they do a white, too. I think we've done more than one. But this is their tannin from 2020. And, you know, Scott and I had a, what did we have? The Chateau or the Bodegas Buzon.
Special, 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 special bottle of wine.
Yes, from a special, special producer. And we absolutely love that wine. It was just a magical thing. And that's one thing that Uruguay will give you. I mean, they'll give you things that are magical. And that's what
this wine is at its best in Uruguay. Tannin is produced in other areas of the world.
There it is.
I think at larger volumes even. Probably France, I would guess, is the largest producer.
You don't know it. The region that I know that produces a lot of tannin is Virginia. Tannin does well in Virginia. In the United States, mind you. California doesn't really do much with tannin. It's there. It's not a very popular grape. But it is hardy. It is big, it is bold, it is rich, it is a good grape. Why do not many places really feature it? It's a great question. Because you can make great wines out of this grape. Garzon, this wine is 6 to 12 months on the lees in stainless steel tanks. So there's no oaking, really. It's all concrete tanks or stainless. 100% tannin, 14% alcohol. But we have had great wines from Garzon, but also great wines that were made of tannin. But yeah, Scott's right. It is predominantly random areas that really feature this wine.
Yep.
Did you see anything in France? I don't know where it would be from.
I can't find my
list. It's not a Bordeaux grape. It's not Burgundy, naturally. It's not from Rome. You might find it on the Med. That's about all I can think of.
I had that single variety bottle at tastings one night, and that was a nice bottle, but it just didn't have the body of the Uruguayan tannins.
Uruguay is known for some great stuff, reds mostly, but there's some whites too. What we've found is they are artisanal in what they do. Nothing is put out. And this is the closest thing you're going to see to a big box winemaker, a Bodegas Garzon. But they really, really take pride in everything. And everything seems to have great nuance to it. That's a rare thing. You don't see that in everything that comes out. And Scott was talking about he wanted to travel to Uruguay because of the wine and the beaches.
I
hidden gem.
think I want to drink tannin in Uruguay.
Yeah.
We'll see how good this one is, though.
It's true. That's true. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. But as soon as we come back, we're going to get into this wine here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Bodegas Garzón tenant. It does have some reviews, and...
Yes, thank you. This is Wilfred Wong. I'm glad I've been invited on the show. I'm going to review...
You weren't invited.
I wasn't?
No, we want you to leave.
I got a letter. Let me read the letter.
You got a letter, and it starts with an F.
F?
As in, fucking get out of here.
No, I was served with it. It's a restraining
That's
order.
That's different.
Oops. I don't give a shit. I'm a rebel. Anyway...
Rebel.
There's a Wine and Spirits.
Oh,
yes.
Lord.
Wine and Ghosts. They also review ghosts, apparently. Yes. This way, they gave.
Spirits is another term for alcohol.
I know that, but I was being amusing, Scott. That's how that
You're
works.
Not
it's
amusing.
Called comedy. Look it up. Oh, anyway, Jesus. They gave it 93 of their points, which is comedic, but this wine sets the bar for coastal vineyards of Uruguay. There's not that many of them, but with its dark skin beauty, its fresh purple plum and lively red berry flavors over the pencil shaving notes of the tannins. What? Grown in the coastal hills, we already kind of talked about that, in decomposing granite. This new world floral essence of a French oak Atlantic grape. There's a thin, high wall of tannins to surround the all bright fruit. The person that wrote that has ADD, I'm pretty sure. Then the wine enthusiast gave it 90 of their points. They wrote a bright ruby color and unencumbered aromas of cherry, red plum, and light oak are inviting and easy to process. This Uruguayan tannin is in its cleanest, most modern form. Okay. Are they saying that Uruguay is dirty?
Or old school.
That's
I
racist,
don't know.
I think. The palate feels juicy and medium in body. Light spice notes, accent, popping plum. That's never have alliteration in your wine reviews. And raspberry flavors, while the finish is easygoing.
Thank you. This is James Suckley, and I can't stand to hear Wilfred speak, ever. I would like him to jump off that bridge that you mentioned.
I think he should jump off a bridge.
He should, a high one.
Would you hold his hands while he does that? You know, that might encourage him to actually do it, James.
No, but tie a cinder block to his ankle is what I would do. Anyway, I did review this wine because I review wines, unlike Wilfred. Anyway, I give it 91 of the dreaded 91. I gave it 91 of my points, and
how
I wrote...
How many of your points, James?
Dark cherries, fresh blackberries, dried meat, minerals, and some savory spices. This is a medium to full-bodied, tight and chewy red with nice austerity to remind you that this is a tannant. Sinewy, very tight and robust, just like me, but not drying on the finish.
Sinewy and tight?
Tight. I'm very tight.
Sinewy and tight. I'm sure Wilfred would like that about
it. I find that interesting. It's fascinating. Hey, James, what's your phone number?
7.
No, there's more digit.
No. Just type 7. many times and I'll answer.
Oh, okay, I'll try it. Yeah, yeah.
You used to call me on my 7 cell phone.
You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Ooh, that was lovely. I can sing.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I've never sang as Wilford before. That was interesting. Well, no, I sang I Got You, Babe.
The Nose.
The Nose. It's okay.
Wonderful.
Notes.
Mint.
There is a creme de mint, I will say that, because there's a bit of creaminess to it.
Stone, gravel. It's a not the biggest.
A grassy meadow.
Everything soft. I'm going in. I'm sorry. This is deep, dark.
Blackberry.
Beautiful in the glass. And this is Old World Syrah?
Oh, that's so good. New World Syrah. This is the beautiful part. First of all, bright, ripe fruit. But what I just went ape about, baking spice and then dried meat just is gorgeous in the mid-palate. The mid-palate is fucking delicioso. Yes.
And texturally.
Oh, that's so tasty.
The texture, silky. This is not the longest of the chance we've had. That's okay.
Yeah.
Like you said, that mid-palate kind of crescendo, this is kind of like up a hill and down a hill, right? Nice front palate, then the mid-palate has everything going on. So there's like this crescendo to the finish.
Delicious. It is, and cured meat. So the baking spice, all spice, some savory things in there, but really that cured meat, because we're eating a little calabrese salami that's really nice, and a little prosciutto that's smoky. This kind of embodies a little bit of that with a little bit of a butteriness to it that is so deliciously balanced to that front palate of these bright red fruits that are popping and singing in a really, really good way. It just tastes like a great slightly rustic wine, which tannin should be, but still,
it's
harmonious it's, to the tea.
Thing I think that aids the complexity of this wine with that rustic nature is I think it allows the different characters to come out more easily.
It does.
My second pull on this, that finish was long. The first pull, it didn't seem as long. The second pull, this is a long bastard.
And the red raspberry and red currant on the front palate are so well done and really balanced well. Not cherry.
I didn't get the cherry on the nose either.
No, not cherry at all. No cherry, which is a good thing. Triple B often says black cherry is her least favorite component in a wine. That's one thing that you see often in a lot of Paso. And it's not here. It's red currant, red raspberry, and really, really nice.
Why is it that when you get that expression of black cherry, it always comes across as syrupy?
Well, it does, but it also can be murky at the same time, too. It just is just a odd, you know, it's just like, it just is an off-putting kind of style.
If you had a black cherry that's a little softer and a little more subtle, it's freaking great. But it seems like it's never like that.
But and also, they normally balance it with American oak, and then you're really just like, what the fuck is this? It can be, you're right. If you do it right, it takes winemaking skill.
In a Pinot, you might see a black cherry that's softer. It's not as big. Yeah, it's just a component.
But that's kind of a component, and it's and it's balanced with other things. But when you have a black cherry front palate, it's just like a little bit of a... It can be... Scott's right. It can be a little bit of coin. It can be many things that are not what you want it to be.
It's like black cherry cough syrup. It's just syrupy.
Well, how many people actually eat cherries? Creeps.
Some of you just don't. What?
I have a bowl of cherries. Would you like one? You don't go into that person's room. Hey, I just got some cherries. Would you like to have some cherries in my room? You're not going to do that. Are you going to go in that person's room?
I want cherries.
That's not what that is. Hey, I just washed a bowl of cherries. Would you like to join me for some cherries?
Cherries are delicious.
You're not going to do that. Although you might be the person that would say, hey, I got a bowl of cherries. Would you join me? No one ever says that. They're like, hey, you know, I got these great blueberries. These blackberries are raspberries. Oh, fantastic. I've got a bowl of cherries. You're like, what? It's just like, hey, have you had these tasty plums? Nobody fucking eats plums.
Oh, plums are delicious. Cherries, you know, problem with cherries are twofold. Threefold.
They belong in a pie.
You got the fucking pit.
They belong in a pie.
You got the fucking pit. Two, you look at it, looks perfectly ripe. Wrong.
No.
It's tart. It's sour. It's not ripe yet.
They belong in a fucking pie.
Three, fresh cherries. You know what you're going to have? A ruined shirt. You get cherry on your shirt.
Cherry doesn't
ruined.
Taste like it tastes in Hubba Bubba Bubblegum or cherry Kool-Aid. That's not what cherry tastes like. It doesn't.
No,
Just like that's the worst representation. I love cherry. You don't, because that's not what cherry tastes like. It just doesn't.
But when you do get that perfectly ripe cherry, it's fucking delicious.
You're a creepo that would eat.
No, it's fucking delicious.
I have a bowl of cherries. Do you? You use the word jubilee if you have a bowl of cherries, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
then that person, I mean, you know, there's certain things you should never say. Jubilee. You could say jamboree, but not jubilee. Jamboree is more of the hillbilly version of jubilee. But if you say jubilee, you know, it's like you have some sort of church that says, oh, this is our annual jubilee.
Don't let the kids go.
No.
Let the children go to the jubilee.
Because they, in that church, they all.
We don't have the Bible school. We have the jubilee.
That church inevitably has one guy that says, you know, I know you have a wife, but in reality, they all should, you know.
It's the church that has a jubilee. It's the church where everybody's uncle, every family has an uncle where it's like you don't let the children alone with that uncle.
Oh, yeah. And the uncle's the pastor.
The church that has the jubilee. Everybody's uncle that's that uncle goes to that church.
Right. You can have a church social. That means they have good chicken and noodles and they have some great, great sloppy Joe sandwiches. That's cool. But and some fresh baked pie, maybe cherry pie. But if they have a jubilee, hey, you don't know what a jubilee insists of. Normally, probably.
I'm never going to eat cherry pie at a church. Two, if.
Why wouldn't you eat cherry pie at a church?
I'm never going to eat cherry pie at a church.
Why?
Cherry pie's difficult.
But
I know you said cherries belong.
Jubilee
pies.
Though normally involves some sort of molestation of some kind.
I don't care.
Or grooming. At least.
How good the Sunday social is, I'm not going to a church that has jubilee in the summer.
No. I don't
know. Not for the Sunday social.
What is jubilee?
Not for the.
Is it a party? Look up what jubilee
it's
is.
It's where all the uncles.
Don't
have
do that
time.
On your computer though, because that would put you in a list. I'm pretty sure this son of a bitch looked up the word jubilee.
If they're listening to this show, they're already on a fucking list.
That's probably true. Because we explore these things. Folks,
no,
you
we
might
don't.
Not know.
No,
that.
No.
Hey, there might
you
be a
might
listen-
you might explore this. I'm
there
not
might
exploring
be a listener
this.
That does not know that you don't trust a place that has the term jubilee. If you're at a church that they uses the word Zion, that's a problem too, because you're not in the Matrix. You don't use that word. You know? Becky's church, well, her family church, they refer to something called they refer to Zion. And I think they use the term jubilee too. But they also have a church leader that has a raccoon on his head. But he calls it his hair. But I know that's not
the Lord.
He's a prophet. They call him a prophet.
I think of an ex-president that has a dead animal.
Yeah, this guy's not that. Nobody knows who he is. He's a prophet, though, man.
What is it? Danny Boone wore a coonskin hat.
Yes,
is that
right.
A... Does
killed him a bear when he was only three?
Does Dum Dum have, like, a cat on his head? What color is that hair anymore?
You just grab him by that, though, don't you?
His hair?
Well, cat.
pussy grabbed him by.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he forgot about grabbing Gene Carroll. But
you know what? You know, Biden called him likes to call him a sick fuck. It's like, yeah, that's what he is. It's a pretty. Mm-hmm. He almost used it in a speech. It's like, yeah, that's pretty good. Sick fuck. That's you know, that's a very you know, you can't use the word cocksucker, but you know.
Wilford like that.
What? Cocksucker?
With Don.
Literally? You mean, well, who's doing it? Am I pitching or catching? I don't care. I'm just asking. One involves chapstick. The other one doesn't.
I can't imagine that if Don was pitching,
he'd be
very good at it.
He's catching, that's for sure.
I'm pretty sure he wouldn't be good at it.
No, he wouldn't be. No, he would be an ungracious lover. He wouldn't be generous. The word on the street is that he's an ungracious
lover.
It wouldn't be generous.
I think there's consensus on that.
He probably has a small dick, too. That's what I understand.
Small hands.
Yeah, but he would enjoy a jubilee. Him and, well, what's his name? Oh, Epstein. He was a buddy of Epstein, wasn't he? Oh, I realized that he was no good, so I stopped hanging around him.
Too soon.
Oh, I don't think so. You know. That's what I've heard. Him and Prince Andrew.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know what was going on. Yeah, you did. You were enjoying the Jubilee, I do believe was what it's called. Lord. His island was probably named Jubilee. Don't ever trust that.
I would never trust that. Jubilee. Strange word.
You know what's moving up the chart of my favorite varietal? Tannet.
Oh, I was going to say Chardonnay, but you know.
Tannet? No, not Rosé, Rob. I know that's... Listen, when it's your number one on your varietal...
Turley makes a Rosé.
When it's number one on your varietal, it can't go higher. So Rosé is not moving up your charts. Tannet, however, is moving up my charts on my favorite varietal. This is another fantastic example from Uruguay. I don't know what I expected. And here's the other thing about this varietal moving up in my charts. It's going to be hard for another bottle to ever live up to that first one we did.
Well, I think you bought this for $15 at Benny's. But wine.com has it, I think, for $19.99. It's a really good steal for that. Tannet in and of itself is a good grape if you buy it from a great place. And Uruguay is that great place. That's where you buy it from. And Uruguayan wines, for the most part, are really nice. They're really nice, and they're not expensive. Once again, you're buying it under $25, and you're buying these great things. It does take a little bit of imagination. You're like, South America. It's not from Argentina. No, it's not.
And typically, it's not mountainous. It's a very coastal growing area for the wine.
Mm-hmm. But it works. It works. The climate is fine. It's excellent.
It's they have all the tannins we've had. All have exhibit full body, full-ish body.
This isn't as big as the. The other one we had.
But I would call this full body. If it's not full, it's just short of being full body, which is typically what we like in red wine. I mean, there's some exceptions. The Italian wines are lighter. Pinots obviously are lighter. But it's the other thing I like about the tannins we've had so far. They're all different.
Yeah, yeah.
They exhibit different characteristics.
Well, the Bouzon was a bigger wine, but it was $40-$50.
It was spectacular, the texture that wine had. This is silky. Yeah. That wine was next level with the dairy and the different things it had going on. That was a special wine. That had a special texture, and it was freaking fantastic. This is really good.
Now, for people out there,
how many days a week would you drink this? And the answer is yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The answer is yes.
The people that would like this, do you like Zinfandel? Do you like this?
I agree.
Do you like Cote d'Aron, you like this. Do you like Syrah? You like this.
Hmm.
Do you like Cabernet from Washington? You like this. It's
interesting. I think the best comp is if you like Zin, you're going to like this.
Wow.
But the interesting on the Washington cabs, particularly the lower end ones, I think that's fair. I think mm-hmm. that's a fair.
Well, it has a bit of a, one thing we didn't mention, it has a bit of a chalkiness to it, which is a little
Washington
bit,
cab.
Especially Red Mountain, that kind of stuff. Do you like things that aren't from Australia? No. Do you like Bordeaux? You know, if you like Bordeaux, you like this. If you love Sangiovese, this is completely different.
That's fair. It's also different than like Tempranillo. You know, that's
but not all Tempranillo.
You know, I'm not gonna make that comp. I like your Zin
Tempranillo is a chameleon.
I like the Washington cab.
Tempranillo is a chameleon.
A lighter Tempranillo.
Oh, yes. If you like Monastrell, you'd like this.
Hmm. Interesting. I tell you, I can't wait to have my next Uruguayan tannin.
We have another one back there.
And if I'm mispronouncing Uruguayan, I apologize.
It's Uruguay.
It's a beauty.
Yeah, well, you bought a second bottle from Uruguay that's back that's a tannin, so mm-hmm. we'll have that eventually, but... It's a grape, A, that is fantastic if you buy it from a great place, and that's Uruguay. I mean, Uruguay is where you buy tannin. But there's also, what is it, Marseille? Is that what it is? No, it was Marisol. What the hell do we have? It was red.
I've forgotten about that one.
That we had on the show, and that was delicious. And I don't remember it. At all. But I remember we drank it.
Marcelin,
yes. But Bodegas Garzon also makes a Cab Franc. They make the Marzan, which is really great. They make Sauvignon Blanc. They make a Pinot Noir Rosé. They make the Albarino, which I think you and I have had. They make a straight Cab Franc. They make the Tannet. They make Petit Verdot. Ooh.
Viognier. Gewürztraminer.
Oh, yeah.
Guess what else, brother? They make Sangiovese.
They also make...
And Trebbiano.
How about a Bodega Garzón Uruguay Balsto? It is a red blend from Uruguay. It got 96 from James, 96 from the Sommelier Journal, 95 from Tasting Panel, 93 from Spectator. They have a single vineyard tannin for $30. I know. Yeah. So they have a lot of things that we like. Oh, here's the. They have a. Okay. Oh, good God, that's nice. Good stuff.
Where'd you see that single vineyard tannin? Is that on wine.com?
Yeah. But I went, well, it's not for, I went show out of stock. That's what I did. You can't buy it currently, and I don't know that you'll ever buy it in this area. But, yeah, whatever. Still, lovely wines. Top of the mark for this stuff. And the Marzlan that we had before, we really, really loved. It's been too long for me to remember what it was like, but I know we liked it. So we're going to take a break, but be right back here on the Wine Vault.
And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to jump in here. Yeah, this is Wilfred. And in case you didn't know, folks, I have a medical degree. I'm a physician's assistant.
Degree.
Yes.
Degree.
No.
Your degree.
No, I'm not. I went to a Jubilee, though, once. Anyway, on the winespectator.com, they have a fictional doctor, and his name is Vinny. He is fictional, by the way. I verified that. So he's Dr. Vinny. Well, here on the Wine Vault, we don't have anybody that's worth being a doctor because we're the Wine Vault. But I am a physician's assistant, which is basically if you go into a doc in the box and you don't want to actually get medical treatment, just someone that says, I think you're sick. Here's some ibuprofen.
You get that a lot, don't you?
And you get a copay, a gonorrhea. They don't have a treatment for that. Anyway, that's what you're going to get here tonight because I am physician's assistant Wilfred Wong on the wine, whatever we are. What are we? The Wine Vault. Yeah, that's right.
That, yeah. What do you want to say?
We have jackets, but I didn't get one of those. So anyway, so Scott, Vinny gets asked questions and Scott's going to then ask me the same question that the fake Dr. Vinny got asked. So go ahead, Scott.
Dr. Assistant, physician's assistant, Wilfred.
It's not that hard, Scott.
You're probably used to that. Are you taking your regular penicillin shots for the syphilis?
Is that what you get for syphilis? I have gonorrhea. I don't, you know. It's drippy dick. Let's just call it drippy dick. We don't know what it is, but. Is it penicillin?
Physician's assistant Wilfred.
Yes, thank you.
Do imported wines,
yes,
contain sulfites?
Yes. What? Who asked that stupid fucking question?
Paul from Evans City, Pennsylvania.
Paul, do you think because it comes over on a boat, it doesn't have sulfites, you dipshit? That's not even about. Yes. Sulfites are naturally occurring in wines, you dumbass. It's a byproduct of fermentation. It happens. Oh, no. If it rides on a boat, the sulfites go away. Ah, no, you jack off. What the hell? I get a headache. It's from dehydration, dumbass. It's not from sulfites.
Well, people get headaches from drinking wine. Well, don't drink fucking wine.
When I drink Ménage à Trois because it makes me giggle, I get a headache the next morning. Does it have sulfites? You have sulfites, you dipshit.
Physician's assistant Wilfred.
Yes, thank you.
You're going to love this question.
I will.
I wish Rob the Wine Guy was answering because he would really go off.
Well, that's true.
Physician's assistant Wilfred.
Mm.
Should I shake a bottle of red wine to mix in the sediment?
Name the person that wrote that.
Mark from Fresno, California.
Mark.
When I open a bottle of red wine, I tend to want to shake the bottle or turn it upside down to get the sediment at the bottom to mix in before I pour a glass. Am I making a big mistake?
No.
Mark from Fresno, California.
No, Mark. Your mother made a big mistake carrying you to term.
Yeah.
And then, after that, not throwing your ass down a well. Because you're a fucking moron.
Mark from Fresno, California is the reason we need to have abortion in the country.
You should have been aborted, Mark. I'm just saying. The fake Dr. Vinny is very political in the fact he's like, there's no advantage to doing that. Mark, I know that you like to jerk off a lot and you like that jerking motion. But you know what? When you're out there in a restaurant, you can forego. You can go in the bathroom if you wanted to and whack it in there. But keep your
dick. Racket.
Yeah.
Was that rack or rock? It was unclear.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, you're a fucking dipshit, Mark. And your mother should have killed you at birth. Just saying. If you'd like me to retroactively fix that, please write the Wine Vault. Tell me where your address is, and I will smother you with your own pillow. Go ahead.
Physician's assistant Wilfred.
Yes, thank you very much for that. Yes, it was not. I didn't give sound medical advice a second ago.
You never give any sound advice.
Wow.
This is from Carol in Huntington Valley, PA. I just hope it's not close to other clown. How do I know I'm actually tasting the same non-vintage port or champagne scored and reviewed by Wine Spectator.
I like how she said the same, because she didn't want to look stupid on non-vintage. She's drinking like Bin Series. She's drinking fucking Bonanza. And she's like, I don't know which Bonanza I'm drinking. But, Carol, you don't. Because, first of all, they don't review a lot of non-vintage ports. But they might. But guess what? That shit could be anything. If you're going into your grocery store, your non-vintage ports could be 3 or 4 years old. You don't know that. Because no one buys them, really, other than you, Carol. But I'm guessing, you know, what you're really talking about. What Carol's really talking about.
What's she really talking about?
She wants to know if she's drinking the same Cooks that the Cooks Asti Spumante that the Wine Spectator gave a 74 to. Is this
That's a nice score.
It is a nice score. Because the last time someone drank Cook's Asti Spumante and enjoyed it was 1974. That's why you get that. But she's like, is this the same one you gave 47 to? Or is it a different one? I'm pretty sure any of the wines you're drinking that are non-vintage, champagne or no, aren't worth drinking anyway or worrying about the description or the review that you read. Is my Veuve Clicquot this? No. Your Veuve Clicquot doesn't matter. Pour it over ice cream like it belongs. Don't worry about it.
Or drink it.
Or drink it, but probably but put a...
Don't
put,
worry about the
review. Put a scoop of vanilla in there. You could even put imitation vanilla in the Veuve Clicquot.
You said scoop.
I did. Go ahead.
Physician's assistant Wolf.
Yes, thank you very much.
This is a person allegedly named Peter.
Peter Cottontail.
From the U.S. He's uncomfortable telling us where he's from. Dear physician's assistant Wilfred, is it okay to ask a waiter to pour less wine into my wine glass? I like to swirl, and it becomes very difficult if the glass is too full.
Well, look, Peter, at Applebee's, if you're buying bottles, you've got a problem. But, Peter, you can tell them to, first of all, you can pour it in yourself. You could not be a douche and do it yourself. Second of all, you can pour as much, you can say, I would only like a little bit. Now, they'll spit in your food, but your wine will be fine. And you can say that if you'd like.
Just a tip.
Is it okay? Sure. You don't want what we call a Christian pour. But if you're at Applebee's, it doesn't really make much of a difference, now, does it?
You're a dumbass to ask for less wine.
I'd like a glass of the house cab.
No.
But can I only have a partial pour?
I think
so that I can swirl it in my
Scott,
glass?
I think what he meant was he buys the bottle, and the waiter is pouring his bottle into his glass, so he's asking for less in his glass as they pour his bottle. But if he is that stupid to want less for his same money, then that's his choice, but it makes him stupid.
I think Peter has less in his glass.
He's like, I want a little bit less. Well, then again, though, Scott, if you get less Josh Cabernet in your glass, is that a bad thing?
That's a win.
That is a win.
It's a win.
So maybe he's a genius.
Dear physician's assistant Wilfred.
Yes, yes.
And this is Cato from Tbilisi, Georgia.
Is he with the Green Hornet?
I think so.
Okay.
Cato. I sometimes have trouble.
I'm old, folks. That's an old reference. Oh, it's Cato.
Upping petulant naturel wines without making a mess. I've had bottles fizz uncontrollably and even experienced what seem like miniature explosions. Do you have any tips for opening bottles of Pet Nat? Wilfred, do you know anything about miniature explosions?
Well, yes, I do. That's what.
Or about fizzing uncontrollably?
Well, you know, I think that's what I have the sock for. You have a spare sock, Cato, and then that's what you do into the spare sock. First of all, you're a dipshit, and in reality, you probably are have the wine too warm, because a wine that's warmer, or a champagne that's warmer, is going to fuck you up more than a colder one. Make it very cold. That being said, God, I don't like you, Cato. First of all, you're a champagne person, where you buy shit. You even know what petulant natural wine is. Nobody gives a fucking shit.
True.
They don't. But apparently, you even use the short form pet nat, which makes you a double douche. There's the one part of saying pentelat naturel. But then when you go back and say short form pet nat, because you think it sounds cooler, it really does. Would you like to hang out with Cato, Scott?
No.
No, you wouldn't. Because Cato is a douchebag. I would like to say, Cato, nobody gives a fuck about champagne. You drink it on New Year's Eve.
Do you want to explain what petulant naturel wines are?
I mean, it's a different method that they use, Scott. Yeah. It's bottled before the primary fermentation is completed. It's not that exciting.
It's not, but it means you're likely to have the bottle explode. When
it is, yeah. But, I mean, the thing is,
it's like kombucha tea. You open that sucker over the sink, otherwise you're going to have a fucking mess.
Yes, it's all, but you're also, like, it's a cheaper method. I mean, there's methadone champagnes, which is the better method. You're buying cheap shit, you know? It's like, oh, my cheap shit. We've had it before. It's like a sparkling wine from the Loire Valley. That's not where it belongs, but it was $9, right?
Well,
that's what he's buying, and he's writing into a fake person asking how he keeps that from, like, you know what you do? You take that kind of cheap stuff to a white T-shirt contest and spray it all over somebody. That's what you do. You don't drink it, for God's sake.
White T-shirt contest?
White T-shirt, yes.
It's a wet T-shirt contest.
Yes, but it's not wet yet.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, you know, it's white. They wear white.
You don't go to these contests regularly, do you?
No, not with women in it. No, I don't. Yeah, I don't. White T-shirt contest is just me going to a construction site and trying to make friends. That's what it is.
One last question.
Oh, no. Yes, go ahead.
Physician's assistant, Wolford.
Yes, that's correct.
This is Chris.
Chris?
From Franklin, Wisconsin. I think every state in the union has a town or a county or a city named Franklin.
They do, actually.
Does tawny port help to settle the stomach after a meal?
I mean, what did you eat?
Well,
it makes a difference. If you ate a bunch of oysters... No, don't do that.
Whatever I ate with my stomach disconcerting?
I mean, technically maybe, but I've never found that tawny port is necessarily what we would call a digestive. You know, it isn't. I drink it because I don't give a shit, but
well,
it's not. No. You know, limoncello works that well.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, you could use port for that fashion, but it's never worked for me that way.
Usually it's like you go with more of an Italian digestive, you know, for settling the stomach or for helping your digestion.
It's all bullshit, though, Scott.
Those Italian digestives are nice.
Yes, but they don't actually help you digest it.
I think they do.
They don't.
You're just not a believer.
I'm not a believer in you. No.
Well,
I think you're a dumbass.
Don't stop believing.
I know. Well, folks, I'd like to thank you for this episode of Ask a Physician's Assistant, Wilfred Wong. But beyond that, we will be right back here on the Wine Vault.
And we're back, folks. So, the Bodega Scherzon tannin from 2020. Their Reserva. I didn't mention that earlier. The Reserva. Scott, what is your numerical score for this wine? Which is of average quality.
Yeah, right. Now, I'm at 91.
91 of your points?
I'm at 91. I'm in love with the tannic grape. Love this wine. I love the crescendo of it, where you've got a wonderful front palate, and then there's everything that goes on in the mid palate, and then it goes down the hill towards the finish. But it's a nice long finish. Love the silky texture of this wine. And this is their mass producer in Uruguay. This is the bigger volume wine, i.e. this is your, dare I say, Bud Light of the Uruguayan tannins, which...
You shall not dare.
But they're not large producers. You know, they're not... This isn't 100,000 cases. Gosh, I just love this varietal. I love this wine. It doesn't compare... With the bottle we did before, the Bodegas
Buzon.
Yeah. It's but this is different. I like the differences between the two. Just makes me want to drink more tannin. Makes me want to go to Uruguay and tour every fucking vineyard they have.
And now it's on to me.
Where you at?
This wine has a wonderful front to mid palate. Good red fruit, and then yeah, that baking spice and cured red meat, or cured meat, whatever you want to call it. It's so well done and so prominent that you just smile every time you take a sip. The finish is there. Once again, it's not an oak, so you can't expect the framing and or the complexity that oak would bring to be there. So that means, even though it's a $20 wine, it has a little bit less structure that you would see. That
I wonder why they don't oak this, because it sure as fuck to me seems like it could hold up to it.
Well, yeah, the wine could, but I think they save that for their more expensive ones.
Okay. I just always wonder why you don't oak a wine. Cost is one thing, I guess, but it's like often when I see a wine that's not oaked, I think, can't hold up to it. It's too lithy. It's too light. It can't. Anyway.
Well, this is
this the, one could be a hook.
This is in the winery's perspective, brilliant. But from my perspective, if you did one where you said this is on stainless concrete, whatever you want to call it, or whatever it is, this is the wine, the grape, naked, right?
Oh, I appreciate and
so,
that.
So enjoy this, but then. On the next level up, we have well done oaking. And so that there's the wine that you liked, but now we've turned it up a notch.
That's
too subtle of a change to justify production, but
I just don't know why you wouldn't oak 20% of this and then blend them together, the unoaked with the oak.
Oh, I think that it would be a better wine if you did that.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, and yeah, that
it'd make it better. A little French oak or Croatian.
So you've got greater cost, but not that much.
Yeah.
I wonder why they chose not to oak this. Because it's tannic, it's got a backbone. I think it's got plenty of, it could deal with old French oaking, even new French oaking.
But after I've done all that stuff, I'm providing it 87 of my points. I'm just joking. Piss off, Scott. No, this wine is a solid 90 of my points. 90 plus. If you want to say 91, that's
go
fine.
Ahead. Well, then why don't you just say it? 90, Mr. 90 plus.
I'm going to say 90 plus.
He's a dick.
I'm not quite at 91 because, like Scott said, it needs that element of oaking to really spice it up. I like everything that's there. It's very, very drinkable. It's very, very enjoyable, pleasing. But
it could be spiced up and just made a little more complex with that dimension of oaking. And I don't even know that if it was properly oaked, Scott, well oaked, I don't think it'd even go to a 91. It'd be beyond that. It'd be a 92, 93. Everything else is there. It just needs that element. So I think...
It just depends how well they oaked it, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of where my thought process is. It's still a Hall of Fame wine. I'm tipping my cap to Bodegas Garzón because under $20 they make fucking bomb wines, fantastic wines, stuff that really it should be in your cellar. You should be drinking it regularly.
It's fucking tannin. You should drink tannin. If you've never had tannin, you need to find a Uruguayan tannin.
Uruguayan.
Drink it.
And that's our stressing. You're from Uruguay. That's where you should be buying some wine.
Find it. Search it out. Buy it and drink it. You will not be disappointed.
Scott and I have never had a bad wine from Uruguay. Matter of fact, we've never had an average wine from Uruguay.
Fact. That Marcelon, the white, I think it was an Albarino.
Yeah. We've never had one wine.
Was it Albarino or was it a Sauvignon Gris?
I think it was an Albarino. Okay. Albarino.
Regardless, never had one bad wine from there. Beyond that, we've never had a wine from there that wasn't really, really good.
We've never had a wine that wasn't great, that we enjoyed.
I'm not sure about the great, but really, really, really good.
Great in relation to what it is, what the price is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great value.
I don't remember the white being great.
We liked it.
Right. But the tannin? Fuck all the other varietals from Uruguay. This is... The varietal tannin should be... You need to meet it. You need to introduce it to your parents. You need to prepare yourself to... have four children, because that's what this varietal is when you get a bottle of wine from Uruguay.
Definitely.
You're going to want to have children with it.
Fantastic. And quite frankly, tip of the cap to Bodegas Garzón. So a 91 and a 90 Hall of Fame.
90 plus, I think is what you said.
I did, but I just dropped it down because of you. Hall of Fame, tip of the cap, highly recommended. Anything from Bodegas Garzón or hell, Uruguay is highly recommended by the Wine Vault. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.